If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. The book of Galatians, chapter 1. Believing God to touch and minister this morning in a very powerful way, that God will move. It is so good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm believing God to touch and minister to us in a great way. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. For I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. For as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. But do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the revelation, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us, and Lord, help us, God, to get close to you this morning. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand. Look him right in the eye and say, hey, it's good. One of the most frequently used phrases in the Christian circles is the gospel. Amazingly, few adults in the church world actually understand what this term means. It could either refer to the little translation, gospel or good news, or it could actually be a term that would be associated with the fact, the perspective that salvation is available only through the sacrificial death and the subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ as a person. To acceptance of Christ is as their Savior is their only hope in salvation. Barnard took a survey in 1994 of Christians in the church world. Only 37% knew what the word gospel could have actually meant. Only 34% had an inaccurate perception of what was going on with the word gospel. 3 out of 10 adults did not offer a guess. Even among born-again Christians, only 60% correctly identified at least one meaning of the expression. I remember several years ago, a friend of mine, acquaintance of mine, ran a place in Tuscaloosa where he did witness wear, was what they called it. And he had T-shirts. Y'all might have seen some of them. They were sold all over the United States. They had Christian sayings on the front and different things like that. And I never forget, he got a letter back from a youth director of a Methodist church. And I don't normally call denominations, but if you put your name on something and you send it on your letterhead and you say something dumb, as this guy said, you ought to be exposed. He sent this back and said, after reviewing your material and your T-shirts, we come to realize we can't do business with you. We believe in the reality of God, but to say he is the only way to heaven is not good news. And therefore, we believe that we cannot offend others who must believe what they believe so that they can have an eternity with their God. And I want to tell you something, my friend. I hate to say this, but I may have been responsible for that young man losing his job because I sent it to a friend of mine in a Methodist church who forwarded it to the regional overseer of that area. And I understand the young man was called in and questioned what he said. Of course, he did sign it, so-and-so, youth director, such-and-such Methodist church. And he put down there that he had a doctorate, a divinity degree. Amen. Now, church, I've got no problem with education, but when we get so smart, we know more than the Word of God, somebody needs to evoke our license. Hello? And the problem we have in the church world, we've got too many people sitting in our pews that maybe wouldn't make that statement but agree with everything that young man just said. We don't need to offend anybody. We don't need to preach the reality of the gospel. But I got to tell you something, friend. I have to. I want to get to heaven. And for me to get there, I've got to preach the truth. I've got to stand on the word of God. Could you say amen? My message this morning's title is simply an unchanging message for an ever-changing world. I've been told that we need something that can translate to this modern society, that we are too far educated to understand the gospel. I got news for you, friend. For 2,000 years it's worked, and it don't have to change for the next 2,000 years. It is still the word of God, and it'll still get the job done. Could you say amen? For the past 30 or so years in America, there's been a proliferation of new religions, stuff like the New Age movement, which is simply a play on the reality of God. But they actually find their roots in Eastern mysticism, the Zen religion, the religion of New Age. They all come out of actually the old mysticism of the East. And they basically tell you that I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, let's just get together and enjoy God. Hello? Then we go and say we can't pray in school. I thought it was really weird. They had a moment of silence after 9/11 at County High School, and they were told they couldn't pray. Yeah, I remember the principal. He looked over at me and he said, "Whatever you do, preacher, don't start praying. You'll regret it." I didn't until some of the students did. And once I started and the chief of police and the chief of the fire department started, I think the principal decided to drop his calls. Amen. But I think it's kind of dumb to have a moment of silence and not say anything. If we're talking about people that died and people were talking about God and how we needed God on our side, we don't need to be silent when we need God. He said, "Call unto me and I'll answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." That's in the word of God, and we need to hang with it. Could you say amen? The core of the letter of the people of Galatia has been turned around. Paul's basically saying, why have you allowed people to come in and mess you up? Why have you allowed people to tell you, well, the gospel's okay, but it's really not good for my society right now. And so what you got to do, you got to change this, you got to tweak that, you got to make it so it's acceptable. Amen. I had a man tell me one time I'd never make it into ministry if I kept preaching as hard as I did. And 38 years later, I'm still here. Glory. Amen. You know what? I got a feeling as long as I preach the truth, God will find a place for me to preach it. Amen. Hello? That's good stuff. Amen. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Even writing to the church writing to Timothy, he said, in the last days, saith God, perilous times would come. We're living in those last days. Just read what he said. Men would be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, incontinent, meaning out of control. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Is that not where we at? I mean, we got to have church. We got to have pleasures in the church so folks will come. I mean, we can't have a regular church. We've got to have all kind of stuff. Got to have us a movie theater in the church and got to have social settings in the church. And we got to make everybody feel good. And, you know, let's face it. The guy that pastors the church out in Texas, if his daddy was alive, he'd roll over and slap him. Glory. He gets up there and preaches on a positive gospel. And the other day he was asked a question, do you believe in same-sex marriage? And when his wife said she did, keep from causing a family problem, he went along with it on national television. And I'd never had a whole lot for the guy, but he gives you an incredible life. Some of y'all are going to figure out who I'm talking about in a minute, but I'm not going to call his name. But his daddy was Osteen. And I wouldn't waste my time listening to the guy get up there and grin and preach. And I know some of y'all are going to fall out with me about that. But if he ain't preaching the truth, what do you want to listen to? And if he's going to preach the truth, he's got to understand that some things are wrong and you got to take a stand against them. His dad preached a gospel that was real. Why do you have to change? His dad built that church that he inherited. He brags about how big the church was. His dad started in the chicken pen. When his dad left, they were running 15,000 and he was preaching the truth. You do not have to compromise the gospel to get people to come to the house of God. You need a move of God, because this gospel is the reality that will change lives. But notice what Paul said, but there would be those who would come, men and women, who would be seducing and would be ever changing the gospel. That's basically what he said in Timothy. Can I tell you, deceiving and being deceived? Can I tell you that's where we're at right now? We've got people said, oh, we got to have an ever-changing gospel. No, we don't need a changing message. We need an unchanging message. I know the world's changing, but we still need an unchanging message. Listen, the Greek word used, when Paul said, I marvel, the Greek word is the Greek word theomadzo. It simply means to be bewildered, but it also has another twist. It means I'm totally astonished because I don't understand at all what you're doing. Glory. Amen. Paul said, here you have received the gospel. God has moved in your families. God has moved in your village. God has blessed your people. And now you're going to let somebody come in and tell you what you heard really wasn't what you need to hear. Amen. Say, well, preacher, that's never going to happen around here. Yes, it will. Because we're living in a world where people will tell you something. And I've heard people tell me, said, I watch so-and-so on TV. 99% of what they say is true. What about that 1% that isn't true? I'm a dumb old country boy. But I learned a long time ago how to kill rats. You put Decon down there in that place. Have you ever actually looked at a box of Decon? 99.99% of it is inert material. You know what that means? It's fattening, good tasting stuff. If it wasn't, the rats wouldn't eat it. 1/1000th of a percentage point of poison is all that's in Decon. But when they eat it, that 1/1000% is all it takes to begin to eat away at the inner parts and eventually kill them. And we got Christians going, oh yeah, I'm getting good gospel. It's 99% pure. If it ain't 100% pure, then it is tainting your faith. It is tainting your hope. It's tainting your joy. And it will mess up your relationship with God. Could you say amen? Listen, Paul warned in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you that they're in a day where everybody's got their own opinion and think it's okay. If it doesn't line up with this book, it is not okay. And if you say, I'm right and I'll agree to disagree, I will not agree to disagree with somebody. It's going to go to hell if they don't change the way they think. Glory. I love what Steve Hill said on ABC when Lynn Shear was trying to make him back up while they were having the revival in Brownsville. She said, what are you going to tell the Buddhists? And what are you going to tell the Hindus? And what are you going to tell the Muslims when you tell them they've got to get saved? He said, I'm going to tell them if they don't get saved, they're going to hell. Glory. And I'm like, that's what they need to hear. They need to understand there is one way, one truth, one life, and that is Jesus Christ. And there is no back door or sideways or no shortcut. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? I want to, first of all, for you to understand the gospel needs no additions. The false teachers are not openly denying the gospel. They're simply wanting to improve the gospel. They want you to think that everybody missed it and they're the only ones got it right. But if we believe in Jesus Christ, then we have something wonderful to add to what you already believe. What is at least implied is that the faith that these believers have is not sufficient, but there's something needed. In other words, you got a good gospel. Well, let me tell you something that would help what you're preaching. Church, there ain't nothing will help the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, church. I mean, we can sugarcoat it and we can do whatever we want to, but the truth of the matter is, it's still the Word of God. Amen. And what we need to do is try to quit making people feel good and let them feel the reality of God. Come on, church. I never forget Brother Curtis Silcox telling me about a man in Mobile. I actually have met both participants in this situation later. I'm kind of glad I didn't meet Mr. Ivy before he got right. He's 6'4", about 350 pounds. And he was a pretty rough, tough fellow, worked the steel plant. And I mean, he was mean as a snake. And they were having witness in school. And this poor old brother from the Celeste Road Church couldn't remember A, B, or C about his ABCs of witnessing. And I remember Brother Curtis said, I'd ask him, say, Brother Bob, what's A? And he'd go, it's the first one. He said, you don't know what it is? No, but I tell you what, I believe God loves folks. That's all that matters. He said, no, Brother Bob, that ain't all that matters. You know, I've actually met Bob. You know the great thing about Bob? He's won 200-300 people to the Lord. And I guarantee if you walk up to him right now and say, Bob, what's A? He'll say, shut up. Glory. He still can't get the ABCs of witnessing down. Curtis said, we went out to witness that morning and said, I carried him with me to keep Bob out of trouble. And he said, I started down the road and said, there's this guy out in front of his house waxing his truck. Six-pack of beer with ice on it sitting on the sidewalk. Big cigar hanging out his mouth, and he's out there in a pair of short pants with no shirt on. Tattoos all over him. He said, I started down the street and said, I'm thinking to myself, that's too tough for Bob's first guy. I believe we'll pass him up. And he said, I'm talking to Bob walking down the street. He said, suddenly I realized Bob ain't with me. Bob's 5'2", weighs about 140 pounds. And he said, I turned around and said, I looked and said, I'm up about half a block away and said, I started back hard as I could go because Bob's got the dude turned around and said, the guy's looking down at him, said he's got his finger in his face and said, he's just a going. And he said, I got there just in time to hear Bob say, dude, I don't know A, I don't know B, I don't know C, but you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved, and I'm here to help you get right. Glory. He said, I stood there waiting on this guy to kill him, and said, the guy looked at him and said, he pulled a cigar out of his mouth. He said, my wife left me yesterday. My life has fell apart. I really don't care what the neighbors say. Let's get at it. Amen. And you know, I met Mr. Ivy. He said, I got saved right there on the front street of my house. He said, you know what? Four of my neighbors go to church now because of Bob and what God did with him right there in front of my house. And I want to tell you something, church. We need to realize we don't need to add to the gospel. We just need to be real with it and let the world know there is a word and there is a power that can change your life. Galatians 1:6. I'm shocked that you're turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. If you are following different ways that pretend to be God, good news. But it's not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Hello? So Paul's trying to tell them the additions you've got a hold of have messed it up. And it's not right. And church, let's face it, are we not hearing that now? Well, preacher, I'm not old-fashioned like you. Hello? I think it's okay for me to do so-and-so. If that book says it ain't, it doesn't matter whether you're modern Christian or old-fashioned Christian. You're still going to hell if you do it. Oh, I'm saved. You know, church, I've never been so upset with people with such a subtle little change of scripture. If I ask most of you to quote John 3:16 to me, most of you will quote it wrong because you listen to the TV and everybody else instead of looking at this book. Because most of you are going to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. That is not what it says. It says should not perish. Shall is a definite, meaning once you saved, you can never lose anything with God. Should means you have the possibility of never losing it. Oh, I didn't get many amens on that. I'm sorry, but I'm giving you word. Matter of fact, the Greek word translated should could have not been translated shall in any way, shape, form, or fashion because it is not a definite word. So what I'm telling you is what I saw on TV the other day. They've actually now changed it to will not perish. Amen. Why? Because once I'm saved, I'm always saved. You better read your book. If a man willfully sin after he come to the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no longer a sacrifice for his sin. Deal with that. Oh, well, I'm saved, but I committed adultery. Then you go into hell unless you repent. Because all adulterers go to hell, not just those that are not in church. Hello? Well, preacher, you ought not preach like this. Why? Somebody else is going to tell you something else and make you die and go to hell because you won't listen to the truth. But the truth is, there's one way. It's his way. It is not a backdoor trip. It's not going to run out of the side. You're not going to get there by accident. Woo. Number two, I'm moving on. I'm getting close to 12. Some of you's already turned me off. Glory. It never ceases to amaze me how people say they love God and love the gospel and never read a Bible. That's why you'll listen to this junk. If you know the truth, you're not going to follow something that's not truth. If somebody tells you something you never heard, go look it up. See if they're telling you the truth. Distorting the gospel is serious business. Galatians 1 and 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. For as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul's basically saying it, but let me show you something, church. The original text makes it a little harder. The original text, probably translated out, would have said this: if anyone come with another gospel, let him be damned. And if you believe it, you will be damned too. Nothing else. I got some of your attention. Your head popped up. He said that word. If it's a proper translation of a word, it's not a cuss word. I didn't say it as a curse word. I said it because God says you're going to be cursed. You're going to be done what? Damned. What does that mean? Separated from God for eternity. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a place that's going to look great but has no God in it. The whole idea of being in walk with God is to spend eternity with him, not to be separated from him. Could you say amen? Praise God. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I am afraid that the people that followed David Koresh to that fiery grave in Waco, Texas, spend an eternity without God. I'm afraid that the members of that occult, Major Applewhite, Heaven's Gate Group, or Marshall Applewhite, not Major, but Marshall. Amen. I'll get it right in a minute. Glory. Major's a pretty good fella, I think. Marshall Applewhite told his people, said, what we got to do is there's this group of aliens flying in behind Hale-Bopp Comet, and if we'll commit suicide on such a day, they're going to beam us up and we'll spend eternity with them in another world. And you know, those guys were intelligent people. They were computer experts, and yet they committed suicide. Hello? So they could go get on a spaceship that was following Hale-Bopp Comet through so it wouldn't be picked up by radar. Church, if I could fly at light years, I believe I could bypass a radar, since we can do it without a little stealth planes. Amen. I wouldn't have to use Hale-Bopp to hide behind it. Come on, church. Amen. I'm just afraid that a lot of people have followed this stuff and found somebody tell them a little something they wanted to hear and end up losing it. You see, the modern distortion of the gospel is a preacher in order to fit Christianity to the materialistic society. Today's message is, oh, I believe in the gospel, but look what it tells me. If I live right, I'm going to get rich. If I live right, I'm never going to have a problem. I'm never going to have a trouble. I'm never going to have a trial. And thousands and millions of people in this world are chasing after those guys, waiting on the millions to show up, and they're going broke while they're trying to send them money. Say, preacher, what makes you think it don't work? I've been around for 30-something years. I've seen a lot of people that were rich that were Christians, but I've seen a lot more people broke that were Christians. Hello? I have no problem with rich Christians. I know some. They're good people. Amen. I just wish they'd pray through and send me some. Glory. Amen. I got a couple of cousins that are fairly well off. One of them, I was preaching his mother-in-law's funeral, and he said something about, boy, how could I repay you? And I'm standing there thinking, I almost said, you know, you could send me a couple of million, and we'd really be tight. Glory. I don't think he'd miss it, church. But he didn't send it either. But I know him to be a good Christian man. He loves God. I got no problem with that. But he didn't get rich because he's a Christian. He inherited it and he'd invested it well. But now, church, the reality is we've got preachers that tell you why if you'll just plant all your crop in my garden, well, you're going to get a harvest you can't stand. And yet people keep planting in the garden and not getting nothing, and then they'll chase the other guy a while. You may not believe that, but there are people in this church who will send their tithes to TV preachers and not pay them here at this church. Hello? And then they don't understand that if they got sick, that dude ain't going to come pray for you. I got a letter from one of them one time, and it said, Dear, and my name barely fit in the hole because it was a form letter. If my name been Ward Jahowski, it had to rewrote it. God has moved on me this morning in particular to send you this letter that if you would send me a $100 seed offering, God is going to bless you 100-fold. I'm sitting there going, really? And if you have the faith but to believe, God will bless you. I sent him a letter back. Dear sir, upon reading your letter and understanding that your ministerial costs are much more than mine, since I'm just an itinerant evangelist with no TV or radio fees, I thought I needed to reverse this. You send me the $100 and take the hundredfold return, and we will both be blessed of God. You know, I never did get my money from him. Matter of fact, I don't remember getting anything else in the mail from him. Not even get a notification he was coming in the state to preach. He's afraid I'd show up and done him. Glory. Amen. Church, do you know that if they really believed what they try to preach to you, they'd get up every morning mailing off $100 bills, believing it was going to come back that way, but they won't give a dime. I've been into places where I've seen some of our preachers, local guys, preaching prosperity. They take up an offering. They won't put a dime in. They won't give nothing. They sit around talking about, oh, yeah, I'm going to get rich. Well, I guess they will. They're hoarding up everybody else's stuff, not putting any of it out. I want to tell you something, church, that's not the way it works. My gospel tells me, to them who pretend godliness to be gained, from such turn away. The gospel is not a gospel that's going to make you rich, but there are things God can do for you money can't buy. There are things God will do with you that money cannot get you to. There are places you'll go you can never get there because of anything what you have in this world. But I can tell you this, I have a gospel that said if you'll believe in me, I'll give you everlasting life, and in this world I will provide your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Could you say amen? Woo! Listen, only the gospel saves. Hello? Paul reminds the believer in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. As Christians in America, we believe the freedom of religion. But that doesn't mean I have to go along with the ideology that these other people have a better way than I do. The words of Jesus grant an exclusive claim, and only faith in him. When he said in John 4:14-6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm hurrying, but only the gospel saves. And last but not least, only the gospel produces real life change. The strongest argument of the gospel of Christ, the personal testimony of someone who has been changed. Charles Birdlough, an avowed infidel, once challenged the Reverend H.P. Hughes to a debate. The preachers were to meet at a local place in London and debate. And Dr. Hughes says, may I bring 100 of my parishioners with me to give their testimony of the life-changing ability of Jesus Christ in their life. Time came for the debate. Time came for everything to happen. The poverty-stricken area they was in, Mr. Broadloff thought would be a great place to show up the gospel. But when he found out 100 people were coming, drug addicts, alcoholics that had been saved in Dr. Hughes' revivals and in his church, he never showed up. They showed up and had a testimony service. 100 people gave out their message. Over 800 people were converted. But Mr. Brudloff decided, I can't prove these people wrong because there is no doubt in their minds that these people are changed. Can I tell you the one thing that lets me know the gospel is true is that when people hear this gospel and really let it happen, it will change their life where everybody knows that life is real. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. The government sponsors rehab drug centers where they say only 25-30% of the people are clean 10 years later, but in Christian-based drug centers where they get the word of God, 80-something percent are still clean. Why? Because there's a life-changing gospel that gets in their life and changes them. Could you say amen? Listen, Luke 8:26, and I'm fixing to close. Please stay with me. It's 10 till. Don't make me, I'll tap it again. It'll be 25 to you. Glory. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound in chains and fetters, and break the binds and the bands, and has driven the devils into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him with the word that he would not command them to go out into the deep. But there were a herd of many swine feeding in the mountains, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter to them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep hill into the lake and were choked. And when they had fed them, saw what was done, they fled and went and told the people of the city and the country. And then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. And then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. See, there's a change that nobody can figure out. Here's a man possessed of devils. Nobody can control him. They bind him and he breaks the binds. He got no clothes on because they can't keep clothes on him. And he keeps running around in the wilderness and living in the tombs. And everybody's afraid of him. But notice something important. Some people are so afraid of the move of God that the minute they saw what had happened to this man, they went to Jesus and said, "You need to leave. You just messed up our religion." See, there's some people this morning while I've been preaching, you've been sitting there going, "Well, preacher, if you feel that way, I don't need to be here because I'm messing up your gospel. Because I'm telling you there's not but one way. Your opinion don't matter unless it lines up with this book." Well, I got my opinion. I got opinions. But if they're not based on this book, they're no good. See, those people were upset because they had a religion. They worshiped Ra, the sun god, and they offered him hogs. And when Jesus cast the swine, the devils into the swine drowned themselves, the entire year's sacrifice was gone. They can't have religion for another year. They got to go find some hogs and raise a whole new herd so they can offer sacrifices and talk to their God. And Jesus is sitting there going, "Have you not figured this thing out? Your gods couldn't get rid of the devils, but my gospel did. Your gods couldn't deliver this man, but I did." And they said, "You need to depart." And he left. But he looked at that man and said, "You just keep telling them what I've done. Keep showing them what I've done." Do you realize Gadara was one of the easiest places for the New Testament church to get into because the change in that man's life, it began to affect everybody around him? Can I tell you what's going to change this community? It's not a church talking about we're going to get somebody. It is having somebody in this building who God said, or people said, can't ever get saved, and see them born again and washed in the blood of Calvary and walk out of this world saying, "Hey, there's a change in me. My life is different." I guarantee you when that happens, it will affect the community like nothing else. Could you say amen? The gospel is the only thing that will literally change people. That is what we lose if we lose the gospel, the power to change lives. Satan would love for you to hear a watered-down gospel, because watered-down gospel will never change anybody. But I want to tell you something, friend. It's the truth of that word that will take you out of the pits of hell and bring you to the power of God. Stand with me all over the house. I'm not talking to you about something I read in a book. I remember bouncing in and out of churches. Let's face it, church, before I got saved, I had religion. Been to every kind of church you could think of, listened to everything they had to say, accepted some of it because it made me feel good. When I got the real word, started dealing with it, life started changing. It didn't take 6 months. Didn't take a year. God saved me in February, and by May I was preaching the gospel. I wasn't proficient at it, but I was trying. By 1975, a year later, I was a full-time minister of the gospel, preaching, seeing lives changed, not because of me, but because of the word I preached. It hasn't changed. It is the word of God, unadulterated, that will change lives and bring people to a peace that pass all understanding. It is that gospel that will get us back to the place we can but believe. It is the anointing of the Spirit of God that takes this word and brings it to life. It gives us faith to be healed, faith to be delivered, faith to receive. But without this gospel, there is no faith. Without this gospel, there is no power. Without this gospel, there is no salvation. We need an unchanging message, even though the world is changing around us every day. We need a message that doesn't compromise, that doesn't back up. But it simply says there is one way, one truth, one life, one door. But if you can enter that door, there's a peace that passes all understanding. Father, I thank you today, God, for your word. Master, you said it is not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' precious name. While every head's bowed, every eye's closed, I firmly believe with all my heart that God put a message in my heart for you today. As is my normal practice, I was here very early, long before the sun came up. I pulled out two messages I've been working on this week and started doing the eeny, meeny, miny, moes between them. And for some reason, I could never eeny, meeny, miny, or moe either one of them. And I finally just said, well, that ain't what I need. And I began to search, and I found the scripture. And when I read it, God spoke to my heart. He said, this is what we need. This is what will break down the barrier to people that are in depression. This is what will set people free who are living in fear. This is what will set people free that are held captive by the things of the world. Isaiah said it is the gospel that breaks the chain, the anointing of the gospel that breaks the chains that binds. I believe with all my heart that there are some people under the sound of my voice this morning. You got some things in your life you need to be delivered from. This gospel is the only answer you got. In this word is the power to overcome. In this word is the power to break out. In this word is the power to receive. Right now, if you're here and you say, preacher, I need to be delivered from something this morning, fear, anguish, anxiety, depression, I want you to let God have his way in your life this morning, because I believe God brought you here to set you free this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you right now for your word. God, you said it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name.